start your day, the Torah, Rabbi Yitzchak Lowenstein.
Shalom Aleichem, everyone. On the title, it says we're going to try and discuss an extreme solution to an extreme problem. So I imagine that anybody sitting in here is interested to hear about an extreme problem or wants to hear about an extreme solution. So for those who don't know, the sugya here is the challenged teenagers, and they are an extreme problem anywhere they are, for us parents, for us teachers, for us neighbours, for us kehillah members, and it doesn't matter where you are. It's a challenge, it's a problem, and an extreme one. The part of the problem that we see is the part of the problem that's the less challenging part. The part of the problem that unfortunately we don't see, which 500 times every year the extreme problem ends up with an extreme solution and is no longer an extreme problem, it's happening too often. It's happening 500 times every year in our kehillahs. It's an extreme problem, and we have to try and see what we can do to find an extreme solution. One thing is clear, that if those are the results, then whatever we've done seems not to be working well enough, and we have to try something else. So kol zman that people are continuing to do what they've always been doing, obviously taking the risk that they'll get the results that they've always been getting, if it's working for you, then you shouldn't be listening to this speech. This speech is for those who have tried everything. I'm not here as a mechanech. There's different groups for that. So if chinuch is still on the... if chinuch is still our goal, I'm not coming as a mechanech. I always tell parents, if you have a problem with your plumbing and you call the best electrician in town, he may be the most amazing electrician, but he is not going to solve your problem. So if you're going to chinuch, it means that you feel that chinuch is either the problem or the solution. And maybe that's why it's not working. Chinuch is not a problem. Chinuch is a chiyuv. But when chinuch is not the answer, then chinuch could be the problem. Always give the example, if you've got a kid lying on the floor in the middle of the street because he's kicking up a tantrum, he doesn't want to go to school, his older sister pushed him, whatever. Then what does chinuch say? Smoil doicha, yamin makariv. You don't lie down on the floor in the middle of the street, and you give them three pech, and you take them off the street, and they know not to do it again. That's the right way of working about it when you're trying to do chinuch. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. Three pech, it's not so popular, but you might not always have a choice. Three pech and off the street. But what happens if a Hatzolah member gets a call that there's a 50-year-old lying on the floor in the middle of the street? And he says, three pech off the road. He'll be charged with first-degree murder. What, why? He did chinuch. He says, yeah, you did use the right solution to a different problem. And you'll sit in jail for it. I'm going to give a short hakdoma to the way Chazal teach us how the Tzuras HaOdom works. And for those who lose me along the way, we'll hit the ground again in a few minutes, but it's important to hear how the Sheirish works. If we know how the Sheirish works, then Be'ez Hashem will understand how profoundly simple the solution really is. Chazal teach us that each and every one of us developed at four stages. The first stage is, and it might sound like the last one, but it's the first one. The Gemara says in Nida, before we were born, and even long before we were even conceived, long before we ever started our journey down here, in the Beis Din Shel Maila, our neshamas were taken aside, and we were told, listen, Olam Hazeh is a challenge, this is your journey, we see everything, we see everything. For those who want Makairus to what I'm saying, I don't want to bore you now with lists of Makairus. You can see in my Kuntras Tinek Shenishbar, there's 600 Makairus in that little Kuntras, and if you want to see a little bit more where I'm coming from, you can see it there. But before we were born, Hashem showed us everything. Who our parents would be, who our siblings would be, who our children would be, our neighbors, everything. And Hashem said, is that okay with you? Is that okay with you? And we said yes. Not because we were like blindly forced into it, but because we understood. Up there everything is clear. And then they said, okay, now make a shvua that you're going to be a tzaddik. Mashbien es ha'odom tehi tzaddik. And we said, no problem, we made the shvua. Ratzoneinu la'asot es ratzonecha. We cannot run away from that. However far we are, there's that first point of where we started our descent down here, which was absolute clarity, we want to do what's right. Even before our parents and teachers tried to teach us anything. That was stage one. Stage two, we spent 9 months, that all that was happening was that our physical beings were being developed. Nothing else. We had no emotions, more or less. Well, the Gemara says there were emotions, but they were not the main part of the development. We had a brain. If they don't find a brain, it's the end of the pregnancy. But the brain is not the one that's active there. The only thing that's really happening is the physical development of a child. In order to prepare him, Emir Tzashem, to be a Talmud Chacham, he's got a malach there with the light. It's great fun. The Gemara says that it's the biggest Yom Tov in our lives with those 9 months. But what was happening was our guf was being developed. The third stage, the child is born. The only difference between somebody who's alive and someone who's dead, and I know that a child before he's born is called alive, but only just about, and only in some aspects. Be'etzem, he's only called a chai after he's born. A month later, he's called a chai after he's born. The Gemara says in Shabbos, the difference between a chai and a mace is if he's margish, if he feels. That's his heart. His heart, before a child is born, all you can see is the feet. Nowadays, they're over chachomim and they can see exactly what's hidden. They use the ultrasounds. But be'etzem, the outside view, you only see the feet. Pinkas hamakupol is the lashon of the Gemara. When the child grows up, you don't see much head, but you see a body. He's crawling. He's crawling, slowly walking. The main part of his body is where his heart is. His feelings are being developed. And he's doing that, and we know everything about children is about I want, I need, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm laughing, I'm crying. You don't hear much sense from them, but they're very much feeling. The job of chinuch is at that stage to prepare the brain for the neshama to come in. It's going to be bar mitzvah. But where's the yetzer tov come to? Where's bechira? Bechira b'tov. Bechira happens in the brain. So what we're doing chinuch is to prepare the brain in order that it comes to bar mitzvah, I should be able to receive my yetzer tov and make the right choices. Before bar mitzvah, he's not making choices, he has preferences. As does every average cat. He has a preference whether he's going for this dustbin or for that dustbin, depending on taste, depending on lots of other factors. But he has preferences, he does not have a choice. Young children, up until bar mitzvah, plus minus, we're not going into the details here, he's not got choices, he's got preferences. And we're supposed to use chinuch. And if we mess up with the chinuch, then when he becomes bar mitzvah, his brain will not be used to making the right choices, and then when he's a gadol, he won't be able to use his bechira properly. Ben Ishchai explains the Ramah in Hilchas Shabbos that even after... Ben Ishchai explains that you have to do tshuva after bar mitzvah for the things you did wrong before bar mitzvah, because a flaw in chinuch is not only a flaw in the stage of being a child, it's a flaw in his becoming a gadol. Right? That means he's getting prepared to become a gadol. And then bar mitzvah we get seichel. And once we have seichel, then we don't take away our emotions. It's a big mistake. We think that emotions are like things for the Ezras Noshim, or things for babies. It's mamash not like that. We have a heart, and we're supposed to use it. It's there for a reason. But we're not avodim, we're not slaves to our hearts. We can feel kas and use our brains not to be kais, or not to express our kas, our anger. We can feel pulled towards something, that doesn't mean you have to go there. A lot of people make mistakes thinking if I have a taiva to do something, it means I have to do it. It's a big mistake. The taiva was there because of who you are, and it's a healthy part of you. The shayla is what you're doing about it, who's in control. So what the Gemara calls in Brachas Taf Samach, is it Yetzer Toiv Shoifton, Yetzer Hara Shoifton? Zoya says it's got to be Moyach Shoilet Al Halev. Melech is Moyach Lev Kovid. The Moyach is the brain, the Lev is where your emotions are, and the Kovid is the Guf. So if it's going in that sequence, then you're a healthy human being. If it's going the other way, Kovid Lev Moyach, it's Kalim, it's destruction. Now, since that Moyach is Shoilet Al Halev, well, that's how it used to be when people were just completely healthy and normal and stable. They don't make them so much nowadays. But when it used to be Moyach Lev Kovid, then somebody could embarrass you, and you'll say, okay, it's allowed to hurt, but no, not the end of the world. And especially if you use your brain for emuna, for bitochen, which is exactly what the brain is for, it's not just there for flipping properties. And we use our seichel to build and to get closer to Hashem. The Mishkan HaNeshama, the Nefesh Chaim says, is in the Moyach. If we use our Moyach to build our Hashkofas correctly, then nobody in the world can get anywhere near us. They say nobody can hurt you if you don't give them permission. If you're in control, if you're standing at the door. You said something not nice to me. Okay, I'm now going to decide. What does that mean? Does it mean that I'm bad? Well, if I'm bad, let me do things right. Does it mean that you're bad? Okay, good luck. Well, not good luck. Whatever it is. But I don't need to break my own life because you did something. So that's exactly who we are. That's the end of the introduction. Chinuch is for the years of preparing our brains to make the right choices, and it's the time where we feel. Now, if things would have been done differently, and I don't know why Hashem did the things the way he didn't ask me, and good job too. But if things would have been that he would have started with the Rotzen, right, the Rotzeneinu la'asos Rotzenecha, and then he would have, the next 9 months, given us a brain, and then for 13 years given us a heart, that would have been amazing, because we would have all been malachim, and pretty much wasting our time here. And Hashem did things differently. He gave us 13 years where we're kulei regesh, only emotions, and not very much brains. So if things are going well, and the emotions are being allowed to be developed, pilei ploy, everything will go well, you'll become bar mitzvah, and everything will be good. But what happens if somewhere along the way, a bulldozer comes and like crushes them lev, crushes the emotions? What happens then? So he hasn't got the seichel yet to be in control of what to do about it. So what are we left with? So it goes very much in stages. It's meridic. It doesn't normally happen in one go, even though it could happen in 1 second. Normally it goes very slowly, and to our disadvantage, we normally only realize once it's too late. But the way it works is that this, let's call it the lave, just to make it easier. We'll get a little bit more refined in a minute. But let's call it the lave. The lave is born healthy. That's all they check for before a child is born. Does he have a lave? Is it like existing? The lave is sometimes born fragile. Right? You go into the post office, the sticker, fragile. Now, we don't always know which kids are fragile. If we did, it would help us. But some kids are born fragile. Why? Let's assume that we don't know the answer to that because we don't need the answer for that. He's born fragile. It could be he was born not fragile. It was not his nature, but his nurture. When he was 1.5 years old, and obviously his higia lechinuch, and he wasn't wearing his kapel when he was sleeping, and his father had to do smol doicha and give him some pech to put his kapel on, and this poor 1.5-year-old kid is getting a bit confused, and he's getting a bit fragile. Just a minute, I'm feeling hurt, somebody's hit me, and I'd love to do what he wants, I just have no idea what he wants in my life. And this happens every day, and he's getting more and more fragile, and then he gets a little bit older, and he's ready age 3, and he got mixed up between a gimel and a dalet, and bechlal, if you don't know the difference between a gimel and a dalet, you'll be an amoretz. So we have to make sure that that never ever happens, and then he gets a little bit more chinuch, and slowly, slowly, by that time he's age 10, there's nothing left of his, there's nothing healthy left in his emotional being. Finished. It's called shever kli. Nothing left. Now, unfortunately, the side effect of that, or the first thing that happens is that in order to survive, and that's how our bodies work, you all know that, that when something's going into trauma, then the body sends messages to the brain. Because we want to survive. It's called survival mode. Survival mode, a lot of you will know, is either going to be fight, flight, or freeze. Whoever doesn't know what that means, it's fine. It just means, just a minute. If my father's in control, I'm in a mess. If my teacher's in control, if Hashem's in control, if religion is in control, if society's in control, I'm in danger. And he's got good reason to feel that way. And I'm saying it in a very extreme way, but you obviously understand it's not always, it's often much more subtle. And he says, listen, I want to survive. So the weak ones, I'm going to say something very unpopular. The weak ones just can't deal with it. And they know it only takes 5 minutes to solve all their parents' problems. And they're very sensitive kids. They don't hurt their parents. So, you know, my parents, Nebuch, I failed them. From age one, I wasn't wearing a kapel. And then Bechlal, I mixed up the Gimel and the Dalet. And now I'm wearing a kapel without a rim. And Bechlal, right? So he says, listen, I've got an easy solution, a weak solution. I'll sort out the problem. It'll take, okay. So for a week, he won't be able to go to work. And then it's all forgiven and forgotten. And unfortunately, that's happening too often. The stronger ones, and it takes tremendous strength, they try and find another solution. They say, listen, I don't want to hurt my parents because it'll make them very sad if I use the weak way around. But I have a heart and it's totally broken. I need to go someplace where my heart is completely safe, where everything I do is okay. They're going to stand up for me for whatever I do. They're going to give me a hug. They're going to love me just for who I am. So, and he's doing that to survive. Okay, so you could call it an iPhone, you can call it off the derrick, you can call it drugs, you can call it alcohol, you can call it lots of other things. Those are just his way, and it takes tremendous strength. Does any of you ever think about how difficult it is to go off the derrick? I was brought up in a family, and I have brothers and sisters, I have a shul, I have neighbours and friends, and I'm accepted more or less, or not, he's not really sure about that, but he's, he's in this place, and I'm not giving anyone any ideas, right? But, and he's got to get rid of his family, because nobody told his family that he's fragile and about to break, already broken. He's getting rid of his brothers and sisters. They might never want to speak to him again. He's getting rid of his parents. He's getting rid of his neighbors, his cousins. He can't come to family simchas. When he comes to shul, for some reason, everybody's always looking at them. Like, so what? I'm coming in with a white couple into MH. But why do you all have to stare at me? So he knows that he's losing his shul. He's losing everything. Everything, hakoil, bakoil, mikoil, koil, he's got to give up. Where's he going to sleep at night? In the park, at the lake, depending where you live, as to where these olim are hanging out. Where's he getting his next meal from? Well, he'll have to steal some money, steal some food. And that's what he's doing. Do you think that's a weak thing to do? Do you know how much strength you need to do that? And do you know why he's doing it? Because he doesn't want to hurt his parents. Because the only other solution is one that's going to hurt his parents even more. Going off the derech is not the problem. The iPhone is a problem, but it's not the problem. It's just a very bad solution. It's an extreme solution. Because when you have your iPhone, you have a million likes, loads and loads of friends, everything you say, no one interrupts you in the middle, no one tells you, how can you say that? Where are you? You're goy? How can you think that eating fish is cruel? How can you do that? We eat fish every Friday night, and he's trying to explain to you why he's vegan. And you're making a whole, going on a crusade to explain to him how his hashkafas are wrong. So he's taking the safe line. The phone, the streets, that is where he's getting the love and the cover that he needs. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says that people used to be clever. They used to say, Omri Inshi, Oy Chavrusa, Oy Misusa. It's as simple as that. That's the extreme problem and the extreme solution. It's either misusa or it's chavrusa. You choose. What does chavrusa mean? What is the taich of the word chavrusa? So Baruch Hashem, we have a Gemara, and in two places in Shas this is quoted. And each time, very differently, just to make it easier for us. In Baba Basra, it says that chavrusa means, I need love. We're not going on a long share now what that means, al pi chazal, how to give it, how to get it. It's not our sugya. Right? But it's something called love, acceptance. Love means the real thing. It's avo she'eino tluya bedover. What does eino tluya bedover mean? It's not I love you for something you did or I love you because. That's not called real avo. That's called a business. Ava she'eina tluya bedava means that even if the child is coming in a swimming costume to the Shabbos table with his iPhone, the Ava has not been dented. And it's not easy to get there. But we don't have a choice. If he doesn't feel the Ava she'eina tluya bedava, then the half of his heart, which needs the Ava, is going to become more fragile, more fragile, more fragile. And when you hit it too far, it's going to crash. And when it crashes, what happens next? The brain gets scratched. I didn't bring it here, but there's actually a concept called an fMRI. It's the same as an MRI for physical, for the goof. An fMRI takes a picture of the brain, and these trauma victims, when you do an MRI on them, you can actually see the whole front of the brain, which is responsible for consequences, for forward thinking, for discipline, for all the things that all of us want all of us to do. That part of the brain is dead. And the only reason you don't bury this child is because there's the back of the brain, which is where the dimyon is and the imagination and everything else, is still alive. If there would be as much electric current going through the back of the brain as the front of the brain, then we have kav yashar. You've been in hospital, you have a straight line, no electricity going through the brain. Anyone who works in Hatzolah knows what kav yashar means, and that's it. So this child, it's actually not a theory, it's not a hashgotha, it's not a threat or a punishment, it's a fact. If this child, his heart, his emotions are being hurt between the age of a month and the age of 13, his brain is slowly, slowly getting scratched. And then the child's acting out. And then the teacher calls, says, your child's acting out. Yeah, you're right, we have to give him lines, he should write 500 times, that he mustn't be chutzpahdik. That's making him feel very respected and very loved and understood. Baruch Hashem, we've helped him move one step forward, and that doesn't work. And then we have to keep him for detention because, school is a punishment, isn't it? So if you misbehaved, you have to stay in school a bit longer, just in order you should really feel that Torah is building you. And slowly, slowly, in the name of Chinuch, we are breaking these kids. We are breaking their emotions, and the emotions are sending messages to the brain, and the brain is saying, whoa, parents are dangerous, teachers are dangerous. Yiddishkeit is dangerous. Religion is dangerous. There's no love left. There's no chavrusa left. So now it's either misusa or I'm finding chavrusa somewhere else. So that's ava, is the first one. The second one is covered, respect. So ava has to be einot luya bedava. If there's anything he's doing that's dainting your ava, go and find somebody to explain to you what ava means, where to find it, and how to express it. Because if you say, of course I love my child, it says it in all the Sforim. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanta even says that I would save my off-the-derech child before my prized Talmud. It's in all the Sforim, and we mamin him. Of course I love my child. That means nothing. It's true, but it's got zero value. Because if your child feels that you don't love him, whatever it says in the Sforim, not going to help you. I'm sure the Shivtei Ko, I'm sure they felt Yaakov Avinu loved them. They definitely knew he loved them because they were Talmidei Chachamim. One of the Shvatim did something that, in the eyes of the Torah, we don't understand it, in the eyes of the Torah, it wasn't so right. Pachaz Kamaim. How many years later, how many years did it take till Yaakov Avinu said something? They were pretty much on the derech, I think. They were Shivtei Ko. And there wasn't really no iPhones then, and How many years did it take for Yaakov Avinu to say one word? Pachaz kamayim al toisar. So I don't remember if it's 48 or 52. Work it out. It was definitely more than a minute or two. It wasn't like, what do you mean? I have to tell him because he has to know. What do you mean? He's Shivtei Ko. And if he's and he did something, it's very bad. It was very not so good what he did. He waited approximately 50 years. And Rashi asks the Kasha, why did he wait? Rashi said, yeah, I've got a brother Esav. And if I say a word to Reuven, he might go off the derech. Can you understand what's going on? So Rashi al HaTorah, it's pure nigla. I didn't tell you anything from the Zohar. Even the Gemara says that in Chinuch, it's got to be smoil doicha yamin makariv. Why do you need yamin makariv? Pen tivrach, he might run away. Well, I didn't kick him out. So one said, I didn't kick him out. and let him be here, he chose to leave. Do you think that terrace is going to work? Pen Tivrach. Yaakov also wasn't going to throw Reuben out. If there's a chance, a tiny chance, now this child might be Tivrach, then even in Hilchas Chinuch you're not allowed to do it. Never mind the fact that this child has got no Sheikhas to Chinuch, and you can't be Mechanachim. Chinuch works on the brain, like we said before. And this brain is twisted. The brain is dead. I always tell parents, if it makes sense, you have no one to talk to. Don't say anything that makes sense. We've got to find a way of building and rebuilding all the, we've got to fix all the pieces. We've got to rebuild that, the kli, the heart, which is broken, and then we have to fill it up. If you have a broken heart and you pour love into it, what's going to happen? It's going to be there for 3 seconds, it's going to just run away. And then you have this father who says, what do you mean? I'm so kind to this child. And I always tell them that if they need something, they can call me. And things like that. And let's assume that this father knows what love means. But he doesn't understand. What do you mean? Every day I need to tell him that he's okay? I mean, he's not giving me any nachas. So you have a good teretz. But what's happening? So ava means something you can see in this child, not something positive. Something about him that you are okay with as a person. These are good kids. We haven't got time to go into it now, but a lot of these kids are much, much bigger tzaddikim than we are. They have more opportunities of getting schara than we do, because they're the way they are. So what is covered? If Ava is Eino Tluya B'Dava, Gornisht, Ava is Eino Tluya B'Dava. What's covered? Covered is always Tluya B'Dava. Covered means that you are beyond, you're above who I am. Your Rebbe, a father, a melech, a nosi. You are what I'm not, and therefore I have respect for you. If you're an equal to me or below me, then I can be your friend. But that's not a sugi of covet. But it just happens to be there's a chiyuv to be mechabed, your friend. So that means that you have to find something about your friend, about your child, about your Talmud, that in that prat he's a godel hadoir, he's a yochid bedoiroi. And you have to find it. And that is about what they're doing. You have to find something about what this child is doing that's, in your eyes, spitznachas. If this child walks to the films or the cinema, or whatever it is on Shabbos, because he doesn't want to drive, so what do we say? Good that he walked. What do you think he's doing? Instead of coming to shul, he's going to the films. So I'm not saying you should go to the films. But do you know how much chai he's going to get for walking? He's going to get Gan Eden for Shabbos that none of us are going to go anywhere near. Because we didn't have a nisoyin. The Gemara says, Yosha v'loy ovar aveira ki'ilu aso mitzvah. But that's only if you had the nisoyin. Any of us had the nisoyin to drive to shul on Shabbos? It might be hot, it might be cold, it might be long, I might be tired, but I never contemplated the thought I never entertained the idea of going by car. Well, he can go by car, and it could be that he does use his car sometimes. And he says, no, it's Shabbos, I'm walking. Yosha v'loy ovar aveira. There's many more aveiras than mitzvahs. We can get a maximum amount of schar for Ramach mitzvahs asei, because that's where we get schar for. They're not doing that many of the Ramach mitzvahs asei. They're busy struggling with the shasa mitzvahs lois asei. And every lois asei that they're not keeping, they're getting a mitzvah. This kid who says, I'm not eating till chatzos on Yom Kippur. Chatzos, 1 o'clock on Yom Kippur, I'm going to eat. Till chatzos, I'm not eating. So we say, chayev koros. What do you mean, till chatzos? Every child knows that Yom Kippur is 25 hours. It's chatzos. It's not a tzom gedalia nidche. It's Yom Kippur. Who's getting more schar for Yom Kippur? His koros or my Yom Kippur? All day in shul, I didn't eat, I didn't drink, I didn't garnish. I was there with my talis. And the fellow next to me even thinks I had kavana the whole day. Who's getting more schar for his Yom Kippur? Definitely him. L'loisofik. Was it good that he ate? Chalila v'chas. Tzchi of chorus. He struggled for 12 hours not to eat on Yom Kippur, something none of you have done. So it's important for us to keep in mind, these kids, and the truth is, every kid, is somewhere on the spectrum of 0 to 100 between being fragile, more fragile, more fragile, broken. Going, going, gone. And the earlier you catch it, the quicker you'll be able to say, just a minute. Number one, I'm stopping to cause damage. I'm stopping to deplete him from the little bit of love he still has. I'm stopping to take away the little bit of covet he still has. I'm going to try not to get to the point where he's completely broken. I'm going to fix the wounds. I'm going to be moisif. I'm going to add love, respect. And there is a method of doing it. We're not going to do it here because it's very individual. And one has to see the dynamics. And it's complicated. It's not so complicated, but it's not for a public forum. But what the goal is, we have to stop taking away the Olam HaRegesh, and we have to start building him up. We always have to have a goal. And say, everyone's got a GPS, has ways. If you don't put a destination in, it's not going to tell you where to go. If you put in a destination and something goes wrong, there's a police car, right? If the Mashgiach in Yeshiva said something not nice to him, or if there's a traffic jam, or I don't know what, then it says recalculating routes, but you have a goal. Before you do anything with a fragile child, just think, where are you trying to go? Are you speaking to his brain? How much brain capacity exists to listen to you? Because if it can't, you're hurting him, and he's going to go be up for a fight. Are you really going to discuss at the Shabbos table if there's a Rabbeinu Shleilim or not? Where's that going to get you? Yeah, but my I've got a four-year-old child at the table, and they heard their older sister saying, I don't know what. And if I don't put things straight here and now, then the four-year-old child's going to go off the derech. So I need to make it clear, kabel amva eda, that the hashkofas of this very well-balanced 15-year-old kid who's got three earrings, I need to make it clear that everybody knows that his hashkofas are not correct. So at the Shabbos table, we're now having a sheer klolli about emuna, about kfira, about gehenem, about chelik bo'ilim abo, and all the wonderful things, because this four-year-old has to have his hashkofas straight. And then what happens? Then this broken kid is getting more broken, and he's up for a fight, because he wants to survive. So he's going to try and save face, and keep a little bit of dignity. So he's going to fight back, and then he's going to bring a chazal, because a lot of them have been in yeshivas. And then you're going to start fighting back about chazal. Then they're going to curse chazal. Okay, so you're going to try something else. Then you're going to say, Tov, you're Meshigan anyway. So where's that going to go? The older child's going to get broken. The younger child is going to get a very clear message. If I don't say things the way my father wants, he's going to be at my throat. There's going to be a big fight, because often the mother understands that what the father's doing is not exactly the way he should be doing it. You have a huge fight, and then the 14-year-old, who's a good yeshiva bacher, stuck in the middle, who doesn't really care if there's a Rabbeinu Shleilim or not, he just wants peace in the house, and he comes home and says, I'm not coming home for Shabbos anymore because of all this pressure. So you've hurt your wife with the mother, you've hurt the child who's fragile or broken, you've hurt like almost everybody, and the main thing is that this 4-year-old should know that there's a Rabbeinu Shleilim. But if you do that long enough, this 4-year-old's also going to find somewhere more peaceful. And then you're going to say it's because of the older sibling. Nobody went off the derech because of an older sibling. You can be very sure about that. If there's something you feel that was said at the Shabbos table, or words that were used that you weren't really sure, when you were in school they didn't used to say those words, and now they're being used two or three times in every sentence, and then you're getting a phone call from the teacher of your 6-year-old or 7-year-old, and the 7-year-old just told the teacher something that sounded very, very fancy and really ruffled the Rebbe a little bit. And now you're stuck with a crisis. Just a minute, there's foul language going on, there's foul concepts going on. Yes, you have no choice. You didn't choose this. You've got to play your cards right. Most of these kids are more sensitive. That's why they got broken. That's why they're more fragile. They do not want to hurt their siblings. If you're going to fight with them, they're going to take revenge. If they take revenge, if they're out to kill, you've lost the plot. They will go to each and every one of the other children and their friends in school and their friends in shul. They will go with their iPhone and show them all the things you don't want them to see. They'll make a point of it. And they're much stronger than we are, unfortunately. They can do it. But if you can start healing these hearts, and it's not so difficult, and you can start making them feel loved, and you can start making them feel respected, then even if he's being Mechal Shabbos, Rachman Litzlan, even if he's doing Averis, he's not in a fight. We're all friends. We all have respect for each other. So he's not angry anymore. He's still distressed. He's still broken. He's not angry. If he's not angry, he's not rebelling. He's not some theological professor who found a more correct or enlightened way of life. He's a broken kid. So if he's not out to rebel, he's not going to hurt anyone. He knows how dangerous his iPhone is much better than all of us. He does not want to hurt his younger sibling. All you have to do is keep things calm. Never argue with them. What's it going to help? You have a mitzvah of teichacha. The Peleyeh says that if your child is a little bit more mature and you're trying to do chinuch and you're doing something that's sending him away, you're over lava b'fneivir. Chinuch is the maximum of a drabonon. It's maximum drabonon. But if you do it wrong, you're over lava of lifneivir. What are you taking the risk for? Keep things calm at home. Anything you need to tell your younger children, you can tell them in private, you can tell them calm, you can say this sibling, not having such an easy time, you know, we've got guidance, we're respecting them, Mirtz Hashem, everything will be okay, and you can do whatever chinuch you need to do. But if you take away the milchama in the house, the war, the rebellion, he's not going to hurt the other kids. I want to say another point, I forgot. Yeah, one last point. All of us are parents, teachers. We all have a role. Is that who we are? And what's our job? We are parents. People think, I'm going under the chuppah, what's the goal? To mechanuf children. In order to mechanuf children, you need to have children. So that's why I'm getting married. People think that the goal of a parent is to be a mechanuch. I'm afraid to say it's not the truth. When the Torah speaks about a concept where chinuch failed, we're as far from the Ribbono Shel Olam as possible. Choytim, and all the other things it says in Chazal, chinuch failed, total. What does the Torah call us? Bonim. Which means that if you're the father and I'm the son, then I have a place even when chinuch has failed. The Gemara says, Rav Meir says, very famous, Bein kach u bein kach bonayhem. It doesn't matter if they're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. Bonayhem. Rabbi Yehuda is chaylik. And normally the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Meir halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. But the Chuvos HaRashba says there's one place in Shas that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. And that's this Gemara. And he brings right to it. One place in Shas halacha is k'Rabbi Meir. In this Gemara. Bein kach u bein kach bonayhem. So being a father must mean that it's something that transcends chinuch for or against. But chinuch is not the issue. Chinuch is a mitzvah derabbanon that was given to you that when you have children, and obviously you know how to be a husband and a father, also you have a duty, midrabbanon, to mechanuch your child. But if you're going to kick out the father bit because of the chinuch bit, you've got it all confused. Then you ever think what the word father means? What's the word father? F-A-T-H-E-R. In Lashon HaKodesh is patron. Fotter. What does it mean? So Rashi in three places asks the Kasha. And the Rashi says, you know what the word av means? I'm going to say something that a lot of people are not going to like. What does the word av mean? Father. Rashi says patron. Fotter. Chaver. One word. And there's many makaris to this. You can look in the Kuntrus. There's many makaris. Your job as a father and as a teacher, by the way, but we're not going there now. On Sunday we'll focus on that more. Your job as a father is to be his friend, to be one with him. Bein kach u bein kach bonai. If Hashem gave you the schus, you can also try and do some chinuch without being oivon lifnever. And if not, then keep one thing in mind. This child's rutzo ineinu, where we started today, the very first thing and the most innate desire of this child is to want to is to want to do things right. If you get out of the way, he will do it right. And fact is that these kids, if the parents are play right, these kids all come back. And they overtake all those that never went on their journey. I'm not suggesting you should go on that journey, but they come back. You can rely on the Ratzoneinu Lasos Ratzonecho. It's very, very strong. Just make sure he's a healthy child. So of course you have to do chinuch. Learn how to do it and do it right. If it doesn't work, it's not because you're a bad parent. It might be that somebody in school, somebody in their neighbor, in shul, we don't know. We don't always know. And sometimes better we don't know, especially if we don't know how to deal with it. If somebody else might have broken this child, if you see symptoms here, if you see those signs, something's fragile, he's not reacting in the way a healthy child reacts to chinuch, then take your foot off the gas, pick up the phone to somebody who can help you understand what's going on. Is he a child that needs a little bit more chinuch? And he might well be. Then you'll do a little bit more chinuch. But if it becomes clear from all the other factors that you won't guess on your own, right, but somebody's going to help you get to that point, and you realize this is a broken and fragile child, stop chinuch, take out your hatzolah box, and start doing hatzolah, you'll save him long before he breaks. And then the chinuch that you had won't go out the window, and he'll keep going straight forward. I give you all a bracha, you should never know what this means from inside, and if you see anyone else does, give them the chizuk, and shbizaychet to v'heshev leivavoy salavaysam. Leivbonim alavaysam.